The Senate relaxes rules on Wall Street. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. On the 10th anniversary of the collapse of one-time Wall Street banking giant Bear Stearns, the Senate yesterday voted to relax the regulations put on banks after the financial crisis. These are the rules otherwise known as the Dodd-Frank Act. More than 15 Democrats joined Republicans to pass the legislation. From WHYY in Philadelphia Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein joins us. Dan, when we say relax the rules, what do we mean?
Under Dodd-Frank, banks with $50 billion in assets faced the strictest level of oversight. The bill raises that to $250 billion. So instead of 38 banks facing that level of scrutiny, it would go down to 12, according to the Wall Street Journal. Another change, most banks providing fewer than 500 mortgages would no longer have to report some income and racial data. Smaller banks could start to make riskier investments as well. Supporters say this will lead to more lending. Critics like Senator Elizabeth Warren called it the Bank Lobbying Act and pointed to a Congressional Budget Office report suggesting this bill raises the chance of bank failure. From here, Sabri, it goes back to the House, where Republicans have passed a much more sweeping bill that undoes more of Dodd-Frank. The two chambers now must reconcile their bills, with Senate Democrats signaling this bill is as far as they'll go.
Thanks, Dan. For some reaction to this, we have Diane Swonk on the line. She's chief economist at accounting firm Grant Thornton. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So the definition of too big to fail has been relaxed a little. The tougher rules are now reserved for only the largest of the large banks. The others are catching a break. What do you think of that?
We certainly saw the pendulum swing to an extreme in the wake of the crisis, which is natural, and that's to overregulate. I think the larger overarching issue for Dodd-Frank is that Dodd-Frank has limited the ability to respond to a crisis by things like the Federal Reserve, the Treasury, should we get into another one. And of course, we will hit another crisis. And having a limited toolbox already with interest rates so low and spending what we could for the next recession in terms of fiscal stimulus today, all of that diminishes our ability to deal with the next crisis. And that's not being addressed.
What are some of the powers that were taken away in Dodd-Frank that you would like to see put back?
Well, really, the ability to intervene by the Federal Reserve and to be the lender of last resort that it was once really created to be, to intervene. Many people, in particular in Congress, were very angry in the early days of the crisis when we saw a loan extended to AIG, for instance, which became very much critical of the crisis. And the Fed didn't even, oversee AIG. Well, as we know now, much of the financial activity is no longer happening in banks. And in fact, where much of the crisis is likely to occur is outside of banks, outside of the Federal Reserve's purview, but their ability to stem the crisis once it spreads to areas outside of where they oversee is very, very limited at this stage of the game. So the bottom line is that these changes to Dodd-Frank don't fix what's critically wrong with Dodd-Frank to secure a more stable financial future.
Diane Swonk, chief economist at the accounting firm Grant Thornton, thanks so much.
Thank you.
The company Theranos was once a darling of Silicon Valley. It claimed it could provide cheaper, more efficient medical tests. At one point, it was valued at $9 billion. Well, its founder and a former president of the company have been charged with massive fraud. The SEC says Elizabeth Holmes and Ramesh Bhawani swindled investors, quote, through an elaborate years-long fraud in which they exaggerated or made false statements about the company's technology, business, and financial performance. The SEC said Theranos and Holmes have agreed to a settlement. Bhawani is headed to court. In Virginia, stealing something worth $200 or more is considered a felony. That is the lowest threshold for felonies in the country. The only other state with that with a bar that low is New Jersey, and it hasn't changed since 1980. But this year, Virginia's governor announced a bipartisan effort to raise the threshold, hoping to reserve prison time for those convicted of more serious crimes. Megan Pauley with WCVE has the story.
Virginia Governor Ralph Northam and legislators who support raising the threshold point out that people can be sent to prison for up to 20 years for stealing an iPhone.
We want to remain tough on crime in the Commonwealth of Virginia, but it is unjust that a theft of something like a pair of shoes or a phone could send someone to prison with a felony conviction on their record for life.
Even with a felony threshold of $500, theft of a new iPhone would still result in a felony. Most states have thresholds of $1,000 and some are higher. Claire Guthrie-Gastaniaga with the ACLU of Virginia says factoring in the inflation rate, $200 in 1980 would be worth more than $600 today.
So we're going backwards and we need to be moving ahead.
Robert Maraca is with the National Retail Federation, a group that's blocked efforts to raise Virginia's felony threshold for years. Maraca says a low rate deters organized crime, especially for retailers.
And it's not that uncommon for individuals to understand how the law works and know what they can get away with.
But Jesse Frierson with Virginia's NAACP has seen how the state's low felony trigger has negatively affected some residents.
Either people are desperate and having to do desperate things on one side, and the other, people just make unwise choices. Could be a kid in school swiping someone's cell phone.
A recent study from Pew Charitable Trust suggests that low felony thresholds are not a deterrent to property crime. Jake Horowitz is with Pew.
States should take a critical look at what kind of crime control impact they're getting by applying felony punishments to lower and lower level property crimes.
Horowitz says raising Virginia's felony threshold could save the state money by reducing prison costs. In Richmond, Virginia, I'm Megan Pauly for Marketplace.
And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.